Doc Dwight Gooden is someone who moves me. He is an inspiration. He, of course, was a legendary pitcher. His first season, he was named Rookie of the Year. Second, won 25 games, earning the Triple Crown, one of the most prestigious awards in baseball, the Cy Young Award. 1986, when the Mets won the World Series, Gooden's life changed forever. Instead of celebrating with his teammates, he watched them on TV because he was wasted. He was blurry-eyed, drunk, high. For the next 25 years, Dwight Doc Gooden battled alcoholism and addiction. And he chronicles this now in his new memoir. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Please order your copy of Doc from Amazon today. Click through at the Amazon banner at drdrew.com or adamanddrdrewshow.com and read this really amazing story. He shows intimate moments of successes, failures, 3 World Series rings to endless self-destructive binges. And I'm telling you, when I first treated this man, his shame was palpable. He was ashamed and he wanted to come clean about all of this to everybody once and for all and to his family. He has a profoundly tender relationship with his eldest son, whom he was planning to play professional baseball with and instead shared jail cells. Doc Gooden, a story of family, baseball, and talent squandered by the disease of addiction, and of course his road to recovery. A rich, rich story, a true human being, and an inspiration.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla pirate ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat. Welcome to the Dr. Drew Podcast. Pleased to welcome the program who's rocking out to these groovy sounds, Claire Teitelman. You're really rocking out to it.
I'm a little bit of a dancer, yeah.
Really? Well, these are groovy tunes that we've selected. Where did we get them from?
Extreme Music, our friends at Extreme Music.
Extreme Music. Ooh, and cool. We put together a whole compilation and just groovy tunes you can play and rock out to.
I like a little shoulder movement.
Well, I see it. Yeah. It looks good. Mm-hmm. So Claire Teitelman, we got a lot to talk about. Her comedy group is Wet the Hippo. Is it the group that's going to be performing at the Playhouse?
Yeah, it's the whole group.
Will be Friday, August 9th at the Pasadena Playhouse, which is a very cool venue to be doing a comedy club.
Yeah.
Is it an improv group or sketch?
It's sort of a weird mix of stuff. It's run by John Gilkey, who was a Cirque du Soleil clown for 1,000 years. So it's kind of a lot of physical comedy. It's pretty absurd.
Circapalooza?
It's part of a circus festival.
And at the Playhouse, is the whole thing going to be a circus festival?
Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of weirdos over there.
And you're one piece of this?
Yeah, we're one small weirdo piece.
I've got to go see this. Yeah, I live in Pasadena.
Yeah, you can come.
Yeah, I want to come. It's what night of the week is that?
Friday the 9th.
It's at 10 p.m. They're also doing a tour of the Pacific Northwest. Check out Claire's Twitter at Claire Pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the website is wetthehippo.com. Here's the deal. My wife and I were watching Chelsea lately about 2 weeks ago. Is that the last time you were on? 3 weeks ago?
I've done 3 in the past month, so I've done two.
Okay, I think it was your first one.
Okay.
It might have been your first one.
Okay.
And we both were watching and went, who is that chick? Who is that girl? She is so funny. And we literally were like IMDBing you. We're looking you up. We're like, why don't we know her? Why aren't we? Why can't we find out who she is? We want to know more. I declared she's coming on my podcast.
This woman's
going to come on my podcast. I walked in here and I said, Gary, you think you can pull this off for me? He's like, yeah, no problem. And he did it. And I'm really, really pleased to see you here.
Thank you.
You are one of the funniest people I have ever laid eyes
on.
And clever and talk about things that I think other people are have difficulty talking about in a way that's still digestible and funny. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Is that you?
I like to talk about stuff. You know, I like to go deep.
You go deep, but you don't flinch, which I like.
Yeah, you know, I'm up for it.
You're up for anything.
All
right, so let's talk about first about you and where you came from.
Okay.
You said you came from Western Mass.
I'm from Western Mass. I'm from Northampton, the lesbian capital of the country.
Right. So I went to Amherst College.
You did?
I did.
You're very smart.
And I have family there presently. And I'm writing a book with a woman in Northampton right now.
Cool.
And I spent a lot of time. Now, you're maybe not even old enough to remember this. But I spent a lot of time at Smith College.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when I was hanging around, I forget what the – is it Main Street, right?
Main
it's
Street.
The Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
The only – and I mean the only restaurant in Northampton was Fitzwillie's.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's a freaking metropolis there.
I mean, yeah. It was Bougie City over there.
It was urban blight when I was there in the
right.
70s.
Yeah.
It was just burned out Beirut. It looked terrible. It was like Iraq. You know, it really was bad.
That's what my mom said when she didn't move there.
Okay. Yeah. It was not good.
Yeah.
And now it's like this hipped out, super cool gay haven.
Yeah.
It's really a great place to be a lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so you grew up in all this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And what was that like?
I mean, Northampton's a super – I mean, it's a super cool place to grow up. It's really, you know, progressive and – yeah, it's very beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful little.
Very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
You missed all that in the 70s. It all looked like brown and
oh,
burned
it did?
Out. It was all like literally like post-World War II.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really crazy.
It must have had like a middle like downfall because like John F. Kennedy at some point had called it the Paradise of Americas, which is why it's called – there's Paradise Pond at Smith and Paradise Photocop. Everything's called Paradise.
Well, he made a sweep through there and gave a talk. I probably talked to – he talked to Amherst. He probably talked to Smith too. And stuff.
Yeah.
God, I love it down there. It's just really – it's a part of the country a lot of people don't know about. It's just beautiful. It's about 80 miles west of Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally different. When people are like, oh, you're from Boston? I was like,
no.
Where I'm from is nothing like Boston.
Did you go to college out there?
I went to Bard in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, University.
And then how did you get into comedy?
It's funny. I didn't grow up watching any comedy or anything. And so I didn't even know I was getting into comedy when I was getting into comedy.
What does that mean? Explain that to me.
Well, okay, I guess
I apologize if I text while we're talking, but I've got stuff going down.
It feels like we're on a proper date. Somebody's texting. Other person's anxious. I grew up doing like avant-garde like theater stuff like when I was growing up, and that's why I went to college.
What'd your parents do?
They're therapists. My dad's is a psychologist. My mom's a psychologist.
Do they work with the college kids in that area, or are they just in the
community? For a while, my dad worked, taught for a while at Smith. But they're just like – my dad's private practice for a million years on off Main Street. And my mom has like done it in nursing homes and schools. She's like a school psychologist for a million years. And my stepmom's my ex-stepfather's psychiatrist. And my two other parent figures are psychologists.
So you came deep in mental health.
Yeah, I go deep in mental health.
And they ran, turned running from that and went into the arts.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that different really. Just a bunch of fucked up weirdos, you know, who are trying to figure it out. But yeah, I mean, therapists are just like you and me. Especially,
some of them
definitely
are.
Like you because you are one.
So, well, I get mistaken for that. I do sort of therapeutic stuff with people, but I'm an internist, addictionologist.
Oh, you
I'm
are?
Really
yeah,
more
yeah.
on the medical side of things. But I get called upon to spend time with people and stuff. And I was in therapy for many years, so I have a sense of what people need. At least when they're – I sort of see myself as the person that enrolls people. Like, I'm going to give you a sense of what it feels like, and then I'm going to send you out somebody who's going to do this long term.
So I'll be like, oh, this feels nice. Want more of this.
I can trust this, or this is safe.
Yeah.
And that's all I want. And
you have a trustworthy vibe.
That's good.
It's really nice.
That's
very comforting. My heart rate's gone down. But it's true. You don't need to be a therapist. I give therapy. I've been giving it on the boardwalk and the 3rd Street Promenade. I have a sign that says free therapy. And started out, I was like, this is going to be a cool, like, man on the street, like, comedy thing. But then now it's just like people actually need someone to talk to.
Do you film this?
I do film it.
Can you watch on the internet?
Well, I haven't put it together, and I don't know if it's too dark for – I don't know what I'm going to do with it because some of it's funny and some of it's sad, and it's super – it's great. You know, I'm going to do a second session with someone on the – like a foster child on the – you know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome.
Do
you worry that you're going to get in over your head or that
– Yeah. But what I feel is like I'm getting a lot out of it.
Sure.
You know
helping
mean?
People is helping people is the richest thing you can possibly do.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
And like these people have like a lot of like insights that I don't have. Just odd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you learn from other people for sure.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that's been good. So I get that. I like majored in playwriting and directing in college. So that's what I was going to do. And I was an actor in college. And then I came to comedy in a real weird way. Like, I'd written a one-person play, and I took it to Edinburgh, which is like a festival.
Scotland,
yeah.
You just think I'll go to Edinburgh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know all my places.
Okay.
You know all my spots.
But I mean, it's still kind of a lofty thing. I was, oh, just cart this on over to Scotland.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, were people telling you, hey, this is good. You're good. You're good. You should do this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, since I think that the beginning was in college. Like, I'd always written short stories as a child, like in my own voice, kind of. And then when I was in college, I wrote plays and I directed and I acted. And I was always told, like, you should limit yourself. You should pick one if you want to be like, you're a talented person, but if you're going to be successful, you should pick one. And I always felt like when in playwriting class, you write a play and then you give it to people to read. And I would always want to read it myself. And I realized later, as I was writing in my own voice, I was writing for myself, which I didn't really, nobody sort of understood then. They were like, just pick one. Let somebody, you know, be a playwright and let someone else be an actor. Or do.
Yeah.
But so I think that I think I was sort of developing all along without knowing it as a stand-up.
So that becomes a one-woman show.
So that becomes a one-woman show.
Take that to Edinburgh.
Yeah. And then I was like, I never really seen stand-up, so there's a lot of interesting stand-ups in the UK, like much more interesting. Like in America, it's some interesting people, but some of it's very conventional. But there's some super interesting.
Like what makes somebody interesting?
Like just like less, more out of the box, like more of probably like storytelling, more absurd stuff, like maybe a slight performance art element, but just doesn't have to be like set up. Punch, you know, that
not
kind
just
of stuff.
The joke. Not
yeah,
just the joke.
Just he doesn't have to just be like, hey, and I had sex with this lady and then I divorced her. You know what I mean? Yeah, people talk about interesting things and I was like, oh, like my one woman show is stand up. Like I went and saw a bunch of female stand ups who were doing it and I was like, oh, I'm doing stand up. So and then like I submitted this tape to this like randomly to this festival in LA and I got accepted and I went and a bunch of people saw me and they kept saying, you know, you're like the female version of this other stand-up, Josh Fadem. I was like, oh, that's weird. So I sent him a message on Facebook or MySpace at the time. I said, I'm your female version of you. And I like won this weird, you know, contest. And I was like, this is weird. So I was like, maybe I'm supposed to be doing stand-up. And then
but people all the way along about it saying, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart.
Well, so. no, that's not true.
Really?
I mean, mostly I was told. Everything just got really quiet.
Because the air conditioning turned off.
I mean, mostly it was like, no, I mean, I was told like when I came out to LA that I wanted to be an actor. I was told a lot stuff like, do you think you're good enough? And I was just actually thinking on my drive over here, they said this funny thing that like really had a big effect on me. But now it's really funny is like there's not many Meryl Streeps in the world.
They tell you that?
Yeah. I was like, now I think I was like, well, there's only one. She's a lot older than me. She's not really stand up. But
you've got all these TV credits. It was New Girl, Parks and Recreation, Cold Case.
Yeah.
And I bet there were successful appearances, right?
Yeah. I didn't sort of have a sense that I was, you know, could, you know, even when I was younger, like I wrote things and I was sort of told at one point by accident, apparently, because we've been arguing about it lately, that, you know, somebody told somebody in my family not to compliment my writing because I wasn't going to be a great writer and they didn't want me to be disappointed. So I had a lot of some of that kind of stuff. So
but I imagine everybody gets some of that no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't feel like – I certainly wasn't plumped up, you know, growing up.
Even in college?
In college, I was like the first time when I kind of settled – you know, in high school I was really shy and, you know.
I can't imagine people don't see what I saw. When I see you perform.
No, I mean, they did. Not growing up, they didn't.
No, not growing up. I'm thinking college. Thinking
in
back
college,
at Bard,
people started to see my person. I became more myself. I mean, growing up, I had sort of a chaotic growing up. So I was really just.
Because of the divorce? Or?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. I was like in survival mode, mostly. I don't even think my personality fully happened until I went to college. You know, I remember I was in college, like somebody said like, oh, I'm at like. There was like a movie, like that movie with the bus with the little girl, like Miss Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes.
Someone was like, oh, I bet you were like that when you were little. And I like told somebody in my family that. And they were like, you like didn't speak when you were little. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't ebullient in any way. I was really pretty like, you know.
Were you depressed?
Yeah. I was really depressed. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And when did you find your voice?
I mean, I was writing short stories even as a child and a teenager, so I was definitely finding my voice that way as a young person, but I didn't sort of get comfortable with my personality, and maybe my sense of humor probably came out when I was in college. And I was like Joanna Galaitis, and I had all these like really powerful like theater directors and playwrights who really like took care of me and were like, you're important. You can do this.
Okay,
stuff.
See?
So that was
that's
huge.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Those people changed my life.
All right. Well, there's no way that didn't happen to you. That's what
oh,
I'm
yeah.
saying.
Oh, yeah. No, and then I this family friend, Kevin, he always told me, like, you're important, you're smart, you can do all these things you want
to
do.
Because your comedy and the way you use yourself in your comedy is so extreme that – no, and I mean that in the kindest way. I mean it's maybe deliberate's a better word than extreme. You know, it's deliberate and you can't just – somebody's got to go, hey, you should keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. I mean – I don't know if any of those people liked my come. I think people liked.
But it's all part of the same thing.
I sort of inside knew it was all part of the same thing. I don't think other people. I think it was confusing to people.
The transition in and out
of things.
They probably just saw glimmers of it.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah. And I think the people I grew up with saw me as like a quieter, sadder person.
That
me being a comedian was confusing. Like, we see you as like a...
How could you be a comedian?
Yeah, you're a great listener.
Well, a lot of comedians are like that.
I guess.
Corolla, off this mic, doesn't say much,
yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So this guy, Josh, you sent him a MySpace message.
I was like, I'm the female version of you, apparently. And he was like, okay, come do my show.
Do my show?
Yeah, because he ran a really cool little room called Josh Fame's Acid Reflex Hour at the Ramada. And he is a really cool alternative comedian. So I went to his show and he was like, yeah, you're like the female version of me. And so he's like, let's do like a two-person show at the Steve Allen Theater. So he wrote this show.
The first meeting?
I think I did two shows. And then we like, yeah. And somebody had just like asked him at the Steve Allen Theater, like, do you have a show in mind? And so he just said to me, like, do you want to write a show together? And I was like, sure. And so then we wrote this, you know, this duo show, which was really fantastic. And that's kind of how I entered that alternative stand-up world in L.A.
And where was the duo show?
It was at the Steve Allen Theater. It was called Claire and Josh Hate Themselves But Love Each Other. And it was definitely one of my favorite things I've done. And then, you know, he... went off and was doing stand-up and stuff. And that's when I kind of started doing stand-up on my own.
And you tour stand-up around the country now?
I mean, I've done some festivals and I go to New York sometimes. But, you know, haven't done any big, like...
And how'd you end up on Chelsea?
Chelsea, I had a meeting with her because I'd done like a writing packet for her. And so I was being considered for like a staff position on the show. And we had a super, super great... a meeting. And you know, it's funny thinking about like how people talk to as a child. Like, she like said the things to me like that I like really wanted to hear as a child. She was like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what do you really want to be doing? And like, and she said, you know, like, you're weird, I like you. Like, I just come from like a pilot audition where I'd gotten this like feedback that casting director called my agent to tell them that like I was weird and they didn't like me, you know? And so it was like it's like people are always like going out of their way to like, you know, shut you down if they can sometimes in this business. So it was moving that she grabbed my knee and was like, Claire, you're weird and I like you. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. Someone just said the opposite. She was like, I'm going to call them. You know?
Really, I get angry at that too. It's like, fuck them. That's so, so soul crushing.
Yeah.
For no good reason. It's like, it's one thing to say, hey, you're not right for this.
Yeah.
Check. Got it. I got that.
Yeah.
But to say something wrong with you?
Well, yeah.
Fuck them.
I know. Yeah.
Right?
But, you know, I am weird. Not everybody likes me. But it's nice when some people do.
Anna David ran into you out here, and much to my amazement, she seems to know everybody I know.
Yeah.
And you guys were – she likes you.
She likes me. No, a lot of people like me. You like me, Dr. Drew.
I do like you. I spotted you. I was like, that's somebody I like. That's very interesting.
I'm starting to like me, so.
That's good. Has that been a new thing in your life? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of therapy. I'm into 12-step programs. I'm into, you know, all that kind of – Learning. I more go to like Al-Anon and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm on.
You're on that end.
I'm on that end.
Then I'll join you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the spectrum I'm on.
Yeah. So I learned a lot of good tools. You know.
What are you focusing on now?
What am I focusing on now?
I mean, where do you want to go? Like, I'm interested in what Chelsea asked you.
Yeah. Where do I want to go? I know. There, I was like, I literally was like. She's like, would you want to work? I was like, I just want to be somewhere where people like me. That's all I want. And afterwards, I was like,
well,
oh,
I bet the response on the panels must be really good.
Yeah. No, yeah, people. A lot of people tweeting.
I mean, did she know she was going to have you on three times in a month?
Or no, I don't think so. I think the first one went good and then they invited me back the next time. Right. And the last one was somebody had canceled last minute, so they called me in.
You're on the rapid response team now.
Yeah, I'm the rapid response team.
It's good.
Yeah, so no, it's great. It's fantastic. I had a wonderful time, and, you know, it felt very natural. Like, I was like, oh, this is...
What I see with that is you should keep doing that, and then you'll do more stand-up, and then you'll sort of figure it out from there.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Because that seems like that show fuels a lot of stand-up careers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely keep doing stand-up. And, you know, I'm kind of running it like a pilot, so I'd like, could I, you know, do a show?
Can you tell me what it's about?
Well, there's just two. One is there's a period when I went broke as a, like, when I moved here, I lived with my friend GJ and his parents in South Pasadena. And before I like made some money and moved somewhere else. And
we're in South Pas, just to flesh this out for me.
Fremont Lane.
On Fremont. Fremont.
Fair Oaks. Fair Oaks.
Well, it's parallel. Fremont is parallel to Fair Oaks.
Yeah, it's like it's off Columbia.
Columbia and Fremont.
Columbia.
Got
you're
it.
Columbia.
Yes.
And anyways, GJ right now is making a film about his family called Frank and Cindy. It's also a documentary on his American life. It's a crazy story. His family is addictions, chaotic. And anyway, so I live in the house with them. You know, and GJ are kind of like a weird – I'm also from a chaotic home, so I kind of fit right into his family life also. So anyways, we lived there for a while until we got on our feet. We went our separate ways and made our lives and had our jobs and our careers happening as a filmmaker. And then into our 20s, I had some financial problems. I got sick, and then all this stuff happened.
What happened?
And I just developed this – I think I had this breakup, and then I just developed this crazy intestinal problem. And I couldn't digest food, and nobody could figure it out.
Was it Crohn's, or was it ulcerative colitis or something?
It wasn't Crohn's. It just, like, behaved that way. So I couldn't work. So anyway, so this period of year when I kind of –
You think it was just an emotional thing?
Yeah.
Oof.
I know. Mm. I'm a sensitive lady. And he got dumped – he and his girlfriend broke up. She kicked him out of his house. So I had to sublet my place because I was in debt and I couldn't afford it. So as sort of grown-ups, we moved back into...
Your ex-boyfriend?
No, this is me and GJ.
GJ's my best friend.
We moved back into...
GJ's a male?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a brother. We moved back into his family's house in South Pasadena.
On Fremont.
Yeah. And...
Fremont, where all that traffic goes through by the railroad tracks?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
And so I was living this, like, weird little bedroom with this, you know, with just my little bag of stuff. It's like a full-on grown-up. You know, I'd, like, lived by myself in Venice in a beautiful apartment for years and, like, a job, you know, but I was all of a sudden, like, a sick person, didn't have any money. And
where were your parents?
My parents, I didn't have the kind of relationship where I could really.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
How many?
I have one brother and two. Well, I have a bunch of stepbrothers from my current stepmother, and I actually grew up with my first stepmother who passed away. So I have two sisters from her.
So that's already chaotic.
So I can't
figure
out.
I need a diagram.
I know.
And you can't call your parents to say I'm in. I need a couple months of support here.
I didn't.
They're therapists. Fuck? How fucked up were they?
I don't know. I just didn't.
And there were four of them, and they were all in mental health, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody remarried.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think about it. You wouldn't even think about calling him. Now, this is like the Corolla family. He wouldn't even contemplate
asking. I just do things myself. Except that I let GJ's family help.
Did you just not want to be dependent on them or send them to see you needing help?
I think it's probably a combination. I think I hadn't felt like they believed in me doing the work I wanted to do.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, this looks like a...
I'm failing.
This looks like a failure.
Yeah, got it.
You know?
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't, you know...
That makes sense to me. Now it makes sense.
So okay. I moved in with them. And so anyways, the pilot's kind of, you know, in this house is really crazy. And
in terms of their family?
Yeah, their family. And well, I mean, the family's really wonderful. He just has a mom and a stepdad. But anyways, so the pilot's kind of about these sort of people who are kind of back to square one at an age when you're actually supposed to be like getting married and like buying houses and doing things.
Sort of like the... Two broke girls,
except like they're the right age to be two broke girls. They're like 20,
right?
You know, we're like
you shouldn't be broke.
Yeah, we're a little bit older, and we have already done the 20s and like surpassed that, and like gotten jobs and gotten like you know I'd already made lots of money doing commercials, and you know we all both had careers, so you know
what happened to his.
His, you know, I think mostly like he got kicked out of his girlfriend's house and he'd made a movie. So he'd spent all of his money on his movie.
Oh, my God.
So he, you know, we were both like So it's kind of about our, you know, our friendship and kind of, and also like I was working like a job, like I was also in a place where I wasn't really telling people what was going on. So the pod's a little bit about like somebody who's kind of like
hiding it.
Yeah. And like behaving in real life.
Like what if you have a date and the guy comes to pick
you
up?
I did have dates. I was single at the time I got through a breakup. So I did have dates, you know, and, you know, I had a boss, you know, she knew I so I'd be like, oh, I'm just, you know.
What kind of work were you doing?
I was doing, I've done so many. I was a personal assistant for a while, a babysitter, you know, like jobs where you don't really want to tell people because you're like somebody that they need to be stable. Like babysitters and personal assistants are the people that are stable for, you know, crazy parents and children.
So how did you break out of that and start moving again?
Well, I just all of a sudden, you know, I was doing, I booked a bunch of jobs all of a sudden and booked a bunch of jobs.
Acting.
Yeah, I made a bunch of money all at once. I paid off my debt, and I was doing a lot of stand-up. I started to feel better, you know? I was doing a lot of therapy and stuff, and I just,
so was part of this a depression, you think, again?
I mean, I think, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I was having trouble managing the feelings of the relationship.
Are you single now?
Me? No.
Now you're in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
That's going okay?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about your comedy, and depression doesn't leak in. And most comedians, it does when they have depression.
Yeah, but I'm also – I also have a lot of anxiety, I think, which is
– That comes in.
Yeah, which is more what I have probably than depression. I have, you know, a little bit more mania. So, you know.
Because of the anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
You spin.
I spin, you know, I can stay up. Like if I get thinking about something, I can just stay up all night, you know. So in some ways I can be like positive, but still in a bad state. I can have a lot of energy and, you know, be kind of charming and go out to dinner and like chat, make a lot of jokes. But inside I'm just like I want to walk into the ocean with some rocks in my pocket, you know.
Where's your comedy going now? What kind of stuff do you like working on?
Well, I'm loving doing the Wet the Hippo stuff.
It's
super existential and weird and fun and you know, doing a lot of stand-up.
As I remember, you're in Chelsea, of course it's Chelsea and stuff, but there's a lot of sexual content in your
I do talk about a lot of sex.
And is that still in your comedy?
Mm-hmm. Still very interested in sex.
Very interested in it. And
yeah, and in you know, in sexuality in general and boundaries and, you know, because I also grew up without not a lot of rules, not a lot of boundaries. So I've also grown up feeling like not sure what people's boundaries are. And always probably more scared of, and in my stand-up, I think I get to kind of explode it and be like a slightly boundaryless person. Whereas in life, I've had to be kind of looking around to like see what's, I didn't always know what was appropriate.
And in the boundarylessness, you say things that are inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get to do the stuff that I've kind of stuffed in.
Contained.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it a character you're playing when you do the comedy, or is it you?
I mean, it's both. I mean, it's me. It's like
it's an amplified you.
Yeah, it's an amplified me. Yeah, you know, it's so funny to talk about it because lots of people I know have seen the Chelsea, and there's people who are like, "Oh my god, like that's so you," and, you know, like, and there's people that said like, "Oh, like that's not the you I know," and so I'm also aware that I don't show all my colors to everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
it seems like there's a very serious side to you too.
Yeah. Should I be lighter, Dr. Drew?
No. Whatever you want to talk about.
Let's be light. Let's talk about something really fun.
Okay. We can talk about sex. It seems to
Let's
be
talk
something.
About sex. Let's talk about
we
sex.
We can take calls on sex if you want. If you guys want to put out a thing for calls. No? Okay.
Why not? I'd love to talk about sex calls.
We'll take some. Put a tweet out there and see what we get.
Definitely advise someone on sex. I've done it a bunch of times.
Your friends?
Yep. Done it. Yeah. I've had sex more than 3 times.
You've had sex more than 3 times?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're how old now?
How old do I look?
30?
No, I'm younger than that.
28?
Probably closer to that. Well, I don't know. I don't even know how old I am.
I guess 30 because you said we had done our 20s. Oh, so I was going as low as I could and somebody that had done their
20s. Yeah. I mean, I did my 21. Okay. And I did my 22.
Okay. So I'll put you in the mid-20s then.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's actually how old you look. I was doing the math that you gave me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So...
Should never give math.
Right.
Nice save.
Nice save. It's good. Thanks,
Chris.
Yeah,
that was a good save. You've hung out with ladies before.
It's actually true. It's actually true. I was thinking, well, she said she's done her 20, so what's the lowest number there? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, 30. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I've been liking talking about you know, lesbian stuff. Did you see that episode?
Probably.
Yeah. I think I've been like talking about the boundary of like, of just, you know, I mean, I've been a primarily straight person.
Primarily?
Well, no, I mean, I'm a straight person.
What is the primarily?
I think primarily is just, I don't know why I said that. Oh, no, I am a lesbian.
Well, you
my
must have.
Unconscious just told everybody that I'm a lesbian.
No, it's not that. It's just you clearly told me you experimented in college or something.
No, I mean, I didn't. I mean, I think, I don't know. Like, I always had boyfriends who were like, you sure you're not? I have a joke where it's like, you sure you're not a lesbian? It's like, no, are you sure you're not? It's like, no, I'm not. Like,
but it fascinates you.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like me and my best friend, we always grew up taking baths and stuff. So when I visit her in New York, we like to take like a bath together. Cause
this is like a couple months ago?
Yeah. And you know, and like, I remember like my boyfriend was like, just like didn't think it was like a great idea. He was like, it's weird, you know, cause you're like grown up ladies.
But it happened in an episode of Girls.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. I watched that and I was like, yeah, these are my people, you know?
So you're in your 20s, you're taking baths with your girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you maintain boundaries in that?
Well, you know, you just act cool. Do you know what I mean? You just act super cool. You just act like no big deal, you know? Like, oh, I've seen boobs before.
We're
no
cool.
Big deal.
We're cool.
Yeah, vaginas, whatever. Yeah, it's cool.
But bathtubs are small.
Yeah, I mean, oh, like how does it like technically work?
Yeah.
Well
I think it seemed like I asked that because that seemed like what you were fascinated with on Chelsea. Like, how would that exactly go? How does this, huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, you're just kind of crunched up in there.
And your
it's not
just,
as sexy as you imagine. It's more like knees up,
yeah.
You know.
And your boyfriend just wanted to sit there and watch as it was his
well,
thing?
Well, I think I took a photo and I put it on like uploaded to Facebook. Yeah, and he was like, it's kind of lesbian-y. And I was like, I'm not a lesbian. I just don't have any boundaries.
Is he your current girlfriend, boyfriend?
Yeah.
And he was cool with that?
Yeah, I mean, we figured it out.
And so on Chelsea, you were sort of fascinated with lesbians. What fascinates you?
About lesbians? I mean, I think one of my very best friends is a lesbian. I have three really close lesbian friends. One of my friends became a lesbian later. And
do you have any gay male friends?
Yep. I have a really good friend, Ed. He's gay.
But the lesbians fascinate you more.
I mean, I don't know if it I have a lot of close female friendships and, you know, I don't think about making out with any of them or anything, but I think, you know, I don't know. Does it fascinate me? I mean, I guess I talk about it so much, you know? I don't know.
All right.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess I talk, I mean.
So when sex comes up in your comedy, where does it come up?
I talk a lot about dating and about, you know, my fears of, you know, sexually transmitted diseases.
Your fears of that?
Yeah, and about, you know.
Is that your general sort of medical thing? You have fears of catching things?
I have a lot of fears, Dr. a lot of fears. I actually had a fear of coming on here and I was like, oh my God, what if I come on here and I find out that I am mentally ill? Because that's always my biggest fear. I was like, what if I come out and there's like, when I leave here, I have to go to like teen mom rehab. But then I was like, that's not a fear. That's more just like a huge hope that I'm going to leave here being a teenager. Plus, like, rehab is probably...
And be pregnant, have a kid.
Yeah, and be pregnant, have a kid. And, like, rehab sounds great. You can just really, like, chill out, talk about your feelings, and be taken care of. I mean, that sounds great.
It does.
And I want to go.
And yet patients hate it.
People don't like it? Oh, God, I wish somebody...
Fight.
...would send me there. I had this period where I shoplifted, and... You just bit your lip.
I'm fascinated.
Well,
Was this in Northampton or was this?
No, this is a full-on, total grown-up lady. And I didn't shoplift. But as you can, I didn't shoplift consciously. I don't know if you know about this. I think it's a thing. But anyways, I was at, should I tell you the story?
Yes.
So, you know, it's funny. I didn't talk about it for a long time. I've been talking about it a little bit. I was at Urban Outfitters and I was like, with a friend, and we were having a real girls' evening, like trying on like sweatshirts, being like, "Do you like this? I don't know." Like looking in the mirror, like romping around, like picking up, you know. And then like I was like trying on these shoes, and she was like, "Come over, look at the sex books." And I was looking at, so like, "Oh, look at that position." I'm like, "Oh wow, I never, you know, I don't do, do you do that?" Ooh. You know. And then she was like, "Let's go." And we're like right by the door, and they're like, "Okay." And then it was like beep beep beep, and I was like, "Oh, like, I'm wearing the sweatshirt, you know, has a big tag on it.
Yeah.
So I was just really surprised. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I was spaced out. And they were like, you know, oh, well, you have to come downstairs with us. And I was like,
what?
And I was like, but I said, no, it's just totally misunderstanding. I just had tried on. I wasn't sure if I liked it. And then I spaced out. I was looking at other things. I was like, I wasn't stealing it. I mean, I don't even want the sweatshirt, you know? And then, this is the part, I've told the story, but this is the part that I don't tell because this is the scarier part for me is that then she looked, so then she was like, oh, it's like a mistake. And I was like, yeah. And then she looked down and she goes, aren't those our shoes? So not only was I unconsciously wearing the sweatshirt, but like I tried on these Chinese slippers. I'd like put my shoes on, tried on Chinese slippers. And my friend was like, come over here. I'd walked over in the Chinese slippers, but totally like out of touch with like my body, you know?
Yeah, you were checked out for some reason.
Totally checked out. So not only am I wearing their like red bejeweled Chinese slippers, I'm wearing some weird like turquoise sweatshirt with a big tag on it, like a lunatic, you know, trying to walk out. And, you know, so they took me downstairs and I was like, this is going to be, obviously I'm a retard, but like you can't arrest me, you know, but they did, you know.
They arrested you?
Oh yeah. They walked me up. It was a Friday night, Urban Outfitters, Thursday promenade. They walked me up through the store and up the promenade handcuffed.
What?
Yeah. And it was great because there was like a little, like a teenage girl, like an under 18 girl who had like some underpants. She'd stuff in her purse and she's crying, you know, and she didn't get arrested. Because she's underage. Even though she was stealing. I wasn't stealing. But I got and I remember him being like, and I was like, you don't get it. I was like, I'm spacey. Like, ask me my friends. Like, this is the kind of thing I do. Like, look at my purse. I have, like receipts. I have, like, sand. I have, like, things to, like, put a, you know, like, a hammer in my thing. Like, you know, this is the kind of shit I do. Like, you don't have to worry about me. Like, and he's like,
he being a cop now?
Yeah. And he was like,
was he pulling up to a squad car or something? What's he doing?
Well, they called him into down the basement where they do.
So this is where you're telling him this downstairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, he was like, how old are you? And I was like, you know, I'm 23. And he was like, 23 is too old to be spacey. And I was like, 23 too old to be like dissociative because you're neglected as a child. My therapist says I'm right on track, but he didn't think that was funny.
You said that to him?
Yeah. And I was like,
that was an example of being spacey. What the hell?
Yeah. I was like, I was arrested.
Wait. So what did he say when you said 23 is too young, too old for that?
I was like, well, actually, I didn't give him the thing about being dissociative. That's when I started therapy. I didn't realize until I was in therapy that I was dissociative, that like that was like a thing that was going on, that like I wasn't totally like
present,
and that when I was under stress that happened. But the scariest part of the story, I go to jail. And
you went to jail?
Yeah, I went to jail. And
were you freaked out or were you dissociated?
I was angry, you know what I mean? I was really like mad at him. But things, although he was very handsome, so I was also attracted to him, but we walked up the promenade and it was actually this beautiful balmy summer night, and you know, the lights at the promenade, there's all these couples and just me and my handsome police officer just kind of ambling along. And you know, I remember I looked up at him and I knew that he had arrested me because there's a no tolerance policy at Urban Outfitters. He told me that. He was like, there's a no tolerance policy, like they have to arrest you, and like they don't listen to, you know, what
anything
makes sense. And so I said to him, and the lady there, like, she like hated, I knew she didn't like me, but I was like, this guy, he's a smart guy, he knows I didn't steal this, he knows he's just arresting me because
he has to.
So I said to him, can I ask you something? And he was like, sure. And I was like, do you really think I stole that sweatshirt? And he was like, yes.
Oh my God.
That's my first taste of like, you could tell the truth and like,
it doesn't matter.
People don't believe you. So, yeah. So I went to jail and I had a really interesting experience. Like, well, in jail is weird, you know, like, you know, they do your fingerprints and it's funny. I actually saw a commercial, a Capital One commercial I was in on the screen that she
while
you were
in jail.
While I was in my thing. I was like, she like looked over at me and I was like, yeah, that's me. I could afford that sweatshirt. And there's like a lady to the left, like screaming like, my pussy's as big as your face. I will fuck you up. I was like, I'm sure your pussy's not as big as my face. I have a big face. But
she's saying that as you're walking into her cell.
Well, we're at cells next to each other. We're in holding cells. But they let me go. But this is the worst part, is that, so I, well, a week late, well, oh, in the next week, I had to get a lawyer, you know? So I called like Winona Ryder's lawyer. I like called Michael Jackson. I was like, I'm just going to chat on the phone with people.
With Mark Aragos.
Yeah, exactly. Is he the Michael Jackson one?
He's also Winona Ryder.
Yeah, he's up in Santa Barbara.
Nope.
Oh. Whoever I talked to is up in Santa Barbara. And he gave me the best advice. He said, because I had all these appointments with people in LA, and he goes, you have to get a lawyer that's with it, that knows the district attorney. So you have to get a lawyer right in the area where it happened.
Yeah.
Anyways, I went and interviewed all these lawyers, and nobody believed me. Everybody was real blasé with me. They're like, well, you're going to – I was like, I didn't do it, so I need help. And they're like, no, we're going to – you know, we can get you
– They don't care whether you did or didn't do it. That's not the issue.
They're like, this is how shoplifting works. Yeah. If you charged with it, you don't have to do, you know, whatever, pay.
Truth is not an issue in the law.
But it is with one person. So I found a magical lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I found one who was connected to the district attorney. So I just randomly went. He was my last interview. I was really disillusioned. And I sat down with him, and he was such a magical man. He like literally didn't look up. He just wrote down like word for word every single – he wanted to know everything that happened. He just wrote down everything. And I was like, it was amazing. He really listened to me. And then he looked up and he said, you know what, Claire? I believe you. I was like – dope. Great. And so he was like, I'll call you in a couple hours. And I was like, okay. And so then he called me and he said, I spoke with the district attorney. She asked me if I believed you. I said, I did. She dropped it. And I was like, what a beautiful thing. And on top of that, I looked up at when I was like, I was, there was like, I looked up and there was like all these Scientology books above him. And I've always been like, oh, Scientology is kooky. And then I was like, oh, wow, this is the nicest man.
Maybe I'll join.
I was like, oh, I get why people are joining this. Because these are the nicest, most sensitive, best listening people.
Wow. Claire Teitelman, we're going to take a break. Be right back. Go to meeting with HD Faces. We use it here all the time. You can be at work when you're anywhere. It's a simple way to meet and collaborate on the line. You can share ideas, problem solve, get projects done. Here's what you do. You're a click. Just with a click, you share your screen and work, and so you can work on one another's documents while you have high-definition chat. You have everyone on the screen at the same time, and you're looking at each other's documents, and you're working on each other's documents. Turn on the webcam to make your online meeting an HD video conference. See each other face-to-face. You can launch and join meetings wherever you are, your computer, smartphone, or tablet, even your iPad. We do this here all the time at the Corolla Network. You can get GoToMeetings free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Dr. Drew, D-R-D-R-W. Remember, use that promo code D-R-D-R-W. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. Claire Teitelman is my guest. You can see her at the Passing Playhouse August 9th in the Wet the Hippo Comedy Group. They'll be in the Pacific Northwest as well. You can find out more at wetthehippo.com or follow Claire at Claire Pickle. Great story. And you were going to tell me something else.
I was just going to tell you the last disturbing bit of the story. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, I'm just like, screw these people. They're really screwed up. These people that tried to put me in jail and stuff. I was like, this was a mistake. Urban Outfitters is a bunch
of idiots. System or?
I was just like,
Urban Outfitters.
I was like, I don't have a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people walk out by accident all the time with things. You know, holding things. So I was like, then something horrible happened, which really shook my world, which is, so I was scared to go shopping after that because I was scared to steal.
You're afraid you might space out again and walk out with something.
Yeah. So I had to go buy something, a dress. I was going back east to a wedding. And so I went into a store and I was real scared about it. Someone was like, why don't you just like tell the security guard like that you have a shoplifting problem and just to like pay attention to you. I was like, no, that seems weird, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not gonna do that. It seems just creepy. I was like, I'm just gonna be super like aware.
Attentive,
I'm just gonna like feel my feet on the earth, you know? I'm just gonna like creepily meditate through the store. And like a meditating panther. And I was just like, I'm aware.
I'm a panther.
You know, but then it's amazing. The unconscious is an amazing thing. So you know what? I was like, I tried on a dress. I didn't like it, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then it was right at the end. I see a sweatshirt that I want to try on. And I had made a rule that you do not try things on in the middle of the store anymore, which is something I've always done my whole life.
Is there something weird about sweatshirts when you're growing up or something? Or?
I don't know. But I was like, I'll just try this on real fast. It's a perfect hoodie. I just like hoodies, you know? So I put on the sweatshirt. And then it's summertime, going east, and I see a bunch of sunglasses. So I'm like, I need a pair of sunglasses.
You get distracted with the shirts on.
Oh, sunglasses. Shit. So I start trying the sunglasses. Oh, the best God. Part is, I'm being real arrogant about it. I'm like, I am not going to steal one of these sunglasses. So I'm like, I try them on. I look in the mirror. I look to see. I was like, do I have any sunglasses on my head? Did I put any sunglasses in my purse? All the sunglasses are back. And I'm like, you know, whipping my hair around, being like, well, I'm not shoplifting here. You know, and so I walk to the door and I, you know, very glibly smile at the security guard. I wave at him. Thank you. And as I'm walking through the door, it's nighttime, so I can see my reflection. It's a glass door. I walk through the door and I see my reflection. I'm wearing this GD black hoodie sweatshirt. And the miracle is I push through the door, you know, as I see it. The miracle is that for whatever reason,
it did go off.
It didn't go off.
Oh. Were you at Urban Outfitters again?
No. I was at Ross Dress for Less. Yeah. The officer are not as good at their tags. But, and I just sat in my car and cried.
Would you run back and throw the thing into the, I mean, did you?
No, I just like, God forbid, they were like, we have to put you in jail or something.
But I mean, what'd you do with the sweatshirt? You run back in and?
I like hid it in my house for like years.
So you actually left with the sweatshirt and took off with it?
Well, yeah, I walked through, I only saw it as I was pushing through the door.
Why did you run back in and go, shit, this is a mistake?
Because God forbid, they're like.
They'll arrest you then. Like
they'll
the other
be like,
guys
it's
did.
A no tolerance policy. We have to arrest
fuck.
You. So instead, I just sat in my car for an hour and cried and was like, what should I do? What should I do? And then I was like.
Therapy.
And then I was like, I'm going to. And I'd also been in like 5 car accidents. So I was like, I'm going to go therapy.
You need a brain scan.
I need a brain scan. Yeah. So that
did
was.
Did you get a brain scan?
No, what's a brain scan?
I'm just saying, I mean, 5 car accidents.
I know. So then it turns out I was really dissociative, that's something dissociative people do.
Getting car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Were you on a medication at the time or anything that would contribute to it?
No, I wasn't on any medication. I don't really drink or anything.
And the dissociation, would you daydream when you were, other than the distractibility?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up a huge daydreamer. Like, I don't even think I learned a single thing in school. Mm. I mean, I like had a really good school face, mm-hmm. you know, but I wasn't learning anything, you know.
You were just dissociating.
I was just dissociating.
Where would you go in those dissociations?
I mean, my parents would even say, you were just the best kid. I mean, you could just play for hours by yourself. You didn't need any parenting, you know, like I was just, you know, I daydreamed about, like, what did I daydream about? I daydreamed about, like, people. Like in high school, I probably daydreamed about boys. I daydreamed about, like, I daydreamed a lot about, like, getting out.
Like, of Northampton?
Yeah, and, like, where I was going to go. And
was it ever phantasmagorical, or was it always just, like, Hollywood?
No, for me, I wanted to be an ambassador. I really wanted to go to Georgetown and do the diplomat program. That was my big fantasy. I used to read college handbooks as like a just for fun. Just live, and I'd look at all the schools and all the different stars they had for different things.
And where would you have been an ambassador to?
I wanted to be an ambassador to a Spanish-speaking country.
Spain, particularly, or would you the Philippines?
I don't know. I ended up going to Argentina for my semester abroad, so I speak a little Spanish. And my home was like, kind of like loud and chaotic. So like there's a lot of yelling. So I think I always just like fantasize. I just sort of fantasize I was in like a calm place or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it also made me not very present, you know?
Does that happen in relationships still? Or?
Well, now, you know, I meditate every morning for 20 minutes. And I do yoga. So I'm pretty like into being present.
Are you back in your body?
I love to leave my body. A few things, you know, I like better than sex and drugs. A few things I like better than leaving.
That makes you leave your body.
Yeah, I like to just like.
So you dissociate during sex?
I mean, I'm sure I've dissociated during sex.
Do you think that you're with somebody else ever?
No, I mean, no, I just like go on, like, I just go on like another, like, I mean, I'm often very present during sex, but I mean, I've been having sex for a whole bunch of years, so I'm not talking about who I'm having sex with now. I did not lose my virginity to him. Even though sometimes I pretend I did. Gotta act that out occasionally.
That's what he asked for?
Yeah. You know, that's more what I've asked for. I'm like, tie me up and I'm going to lose my virginity.
Like,
this
like,
is how
like,
it's going to go.
Like I did the first time?
Yeah, like I did the first time. So, yeah, I try to be present. I actually, like, once I started meditating, this is just like a boring meditating story. You hear a boring meditating story? It's not sexy. But I just took this walk on my street. Someone taught me this basic meditation where you just like call out what you see. You know, like, hey, there's a nice fella in a blue shirt over there. Hi. You know, you just call out the shit you see. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I'd never seen my street before. There was like beautiful flowers on my street. There was like a bench. I sat on the bench. And I was like, oh. So
You'd actually say it out loud?
Yeah. And I still do that. I do meditation. I just say out what I see. Otherwise, I just am in my head obsessing about the future, the past. But I think it was a problem in my relationships. Like, I couldn't really enjoy them when I was younger because I wasn't fully in them. You know? I was such a worrier as a child. It's really until pretty recently that I've stopped being in, like, I'm going to be homeless and, you know, life's going to fall apart. Now I'm like, oh, cool. Like, life's going to be okay. I'm going to go for a swim.
And yet in your comedy, at least again, I'm thinking about it. I saw you on Chelsea. You're very present, very sharp, very on top, but very you're like fully engaged.
Yeah. And that's – yeah. I mean, I meditated a shitload that morning.
That morning?
Mm-hmm.
To deal with your anxiety or
– Yeah. I just want to – I mean, I just want to be present. I want to enjoy my life. I want to – things that are non-enjoyable. I want to be there for them, walk through them. You know, you know, and then I enjoy, like, I had a great time in Chelsea. I was there, you know?
Yeah.
I was present. I could,
are you here now?
Am I here now? Didn't meditate this morning.
Mm.
So I'm probably not quite as present, but I'm pretty present. I can definitely feel, it's cold in here. I can feel my elbows.
You caught the guy in the blue shirt?
I caught the guy in the blue shirt. And there's another guy in another blue shirt smiling at me. Hi.
You're a good storyteller.
I am, thanks. Mm-hmm. Really? You want to hear another story?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What about? Oh, I mean, I could tell you a sex story.
Okay.
Okay. Is that appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's podcast.
Bunch of guys nodding.
These guys, yeah, those yeah,
bunch
guys
of guys nodding.
By all means,
you know,
it's
and,
totally fine.
Well, I'm interested because your humor hit it out of the park there, so I'm interested in your stories around it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, okay. So I will say, like, I will say during the time that I told you about the thing I'm writing about when I lived with GJ and things were like falling apart for me in a way that was humiliating and super weird. I was sort of had this feeling of just like, you know, like let's like let it rip, you know, like things are really going down. Like let's just really like let's just really
break it out.
Let's just go there, you know, like let's not. So I was just like I was single at the time, and I was like I decided. And this story is actually in Anna David's book, but that I was gonna
and Party Girl.
She is a new book coming out.
The book coming, yes, yes, okay.
And so I decided that I wanted to have a casual encounter off Craigslist casual encounters. You know, and I'm a girl who's a real, real good girl, you know.
This was new territory for you.
This was new territory. You know, I mean, I haven't even had one-night stands, really, you know, boyfriends and stuff. And not that many boyfriends. So, and so, but I was like, but right until then I'd had like a little bit of casual sex with somebody. And I was like, oh. I remember like he was like, let's like have sex but not be in a relationship. And I was like, no, I only have sex like with boyfriends. And he was like, he goes, casual sex is like really fun. And I was like, I don't like do that. And he goes, have you ever had casual sex? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, you don't know if it's fun. You can't say it's not fun. You haven't done it.
This guy's great.
He's really good. He was like, you got to just do it one time. We'll just do it.
With him.
Yeah. He goes, we'll have casual sex once. And if you don't think it's fun, we don't do it anymore.
Oh my God. That's
you know, he was like, you're in relationships your whole life. It was one period when you don't have a boyfriend. Like, just, you know, have a good time. So I was like, okay, I'm doing one time. And so I was like, oh, like this is cool, you know. I was like, this is cool, and because you know you don't have to like worry about you know
anything.
You don't have to worry about anything. You're
about pregnancy and STDs.
You have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah,
but you don't have to worry about being anybody in particular or like meeting anybody's like major needs in life.
Of course.
Or you know you can really just you know let it rip. So, but that didn't.
So you went all the way.
So we went all the way. So. I didn't last that long. And then I was like, oh, I want to have more of this so-called casual sex, you know? So I'm like, well, what's the difference between somebody on the internet besides some random guy I meet on a commercial shoot? You know what I mean? What's really the difference? That guy could have been on the internet. So then I was like.
Undoubtedly he was.
Undoubtedly he was. So then I was like, you know, okay. So
were you nervous as you did it?
Yeah, but I was excited. It was like, but okay, the guy that I was having casual sex with, he was like also severely depressed. And we were supposed to go out and have a casual evening. We were also a little bit dating, but not seriously. And he was too depressed. He was like, he had like started new medication and he was like throwing up or something weird.
They've asked me to
it's too noisy.
They're hearing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, he was like, it's too, so anyways, I remember I'd gone and bought a bra at the Beverly Center, you know, and like because I mostly wear like gross, like I grew up with like just always wearing gross underwear and bras, holes. Because I was given like a certain small amount of money at the beginning of the fall to buy clothes when I was growing up. And I'd always buy things people could see because I didn't have that much money. So up until recently, I've never bought nice undergarments.
Now do you go the other way? You're like buying really nice stuff too?
No, now it takes all my energy to throw out something with a hole.
Got it.
Know what I mean?
Yes.
But I do it because I'm like a grown up lady now. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of energy for me to get rid of a bra. But so anyways, I bought like a colored bra because I'm gonna wear a colored bra while I'm having casual sex, you know? This is what ladies of this millennium
did you
are
go
doing.
With a friend to buy the bra, or were you doing this by yourself?
Yeah, I went with a friend. Went to Lomans.
And she knew what you were doing?
Yeah. She's had casual sex before. She's like, yeah, this is good. It's really good. It's what you need. So anyways, I was psyched. I had my blue bra and I was like psyched. And I like went back to like JJ's family house, which is, you know, like, and JJ was out doing things. And anyways, I got a call that like he was like throwing up from his new antidepressant. So I was like, oh, we're not going to go out. And I was like sitting, you know, on my I had like a little Tinkerbell rug in my little room in Pasadena. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, and being like, you know what? Like, I'm a grown lady. Like, I want to have casual sex. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not like, how hard can this be?
I'm a grown lady.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Okay. Okay.
So I go on the, so I'm like, I was like real like feeling liberated. I was like, I'm going to do this for myself. You know, like I could go to a bar or I could just schedule it online. You know, I'm organized. You know, why take a risk? Let's look at some pictures, see what's out there, you know. So I went online, I looked at all the people, and then my first mistake was this. I was like a little scared, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, I picked the person who seemed the most unscary. You know, he was like, I'm an artist looking for my muse. And I was like, done. I'm a muse. You know, my grandma wrote a song about me when I was a child. Like, you know, I'm a muse. So, So I emailed him and I was like, hi, might like to be your muse. He was like, well, send me a pic. And I was like, no, I'm not sending you a pic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a grown up lady with a job and
a
career.
I'm a liberated lady and I want
to
do this.
Yeah. I'm not sending a pic of my face to you. You know what I mean? Like,
check out the Capital One commercial.
Yeah. Like, and I got run him out. I was like, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And I didn't mean that I thought I was like a real babe, but I meant like, I feel like someone's like dream of like hope for a casual encounter is like not unlike one's hope for like their newborn child. You know, it's mm-hmm. like 10 fingers and toes, like no AIDS, like good to go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm not a monster. I have all the bits, you know, we'll be able to do the thing. You know, you're going to be happy. And, you know, because who knows who else is responding to these bunch of like really, I mean, I'm dissociative, but, you know, bunch of really crazy people. So we met and, you know, at this like bar but it was real awkward. You know, it was real awkward. Like I also don't drink. So I was like pretending that I drink.
Was this in South Pasadena still?
No, this was in Los Feliz.
Los Feliz.
I like drove over there.
Okay.
You know, I go to bed really early. So for me, it was like a real big deal.
You met him, and
it was like midnight and I was like, show up some
bar. Were you attracted to him?
He actually looks like the kind of guy is like I would date. He's kind of we went to like Cal Arts and
good.
You know, he's like graphic. But the thing is, that wasn't really what I was looking for my casual encounter.
What did you want?
Because that's the thing. He was like real nice and he was like real interested in me and like kind of real gentlemanly.
Oh, shit. You wanted somebody just to rock you.
Yeah, little bit. And I was like, I'm not looking for
a relationship.
I was like trying to mimic the casual sex I'd been having with this other guy. I wasn't looking for some guy who can't get a date. You know what I mean? Like, so he's like, do you want a drink? So I was like, yeah, I'll have a rum, you know. Because there's like a sign for rum in the corner. So I was like, I'll have a rum. And he was like, and Coke? And I was like, no, just rum. And he was like, it's okay. And I was like, I'm not going to drink it. I'm just going to hold it while we talk about things. And so then we go back to his place. And, you know, I don't know. He's some art. Start looking at his art books, which I love art books. And I start just getting like unturned on. You know, I'm like looking at art.
Oh,
and like,
no.
You know, and then I like see this like big stack of like unopened bills and stuff, and I was like, oh, like, because like I had gone into debt, someone was like, you should go to DA and like learn some. I'm not really a debtor, but like I was sick anyway, so I learned a bunch of tools about money. I was like, oh, this guy's a debtor, great. He and I have a lot in common. We're like weird sex addicts who are also like debt problems, so you know, like art, so this is cool. And anyway, so like even he was just real nice. And and like I remember like I thought like maybe we were gonna do some like cool fun stuff And but he was kind of
sexually mean.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I just thought like we're just gonna like do some cool fun stuff, and but he was like he was kind of like you're he's like he was like oh it's just so he was like I'm such a nice I mean I'm a weirdo obviously but like in life I'm also just like a nice normal lovely lady, and so I wanted like in stand up I get to be like a weirdo and in my Catch on Calendar I was hoping to also get to be a weirdo you know and get to just like.
Break it out.
Yeah. You know, like, this is the time. We don't know each other. Like, this is going to be cool. But he was like, oh, God, Claire, it's so great to finally meet someone normal. And I was like, oh, no.
I've got to be normal.
Oh, no. And he was like, you know, there's so many weirdos on Craigslist. He goes, this one girl, he goes, she responded to me and, like, she wanted to do, like, a bunch of, like, weird stuff. So I didn't get back to her. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, that lady really dodged a bullet. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I should have, like, answered the ad to, like, you know, like, the creepier sounding people. You know, this guy is just too nice.
A little more leather.
Yeah, a little more leather. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy was more, like he hadn't found, like, he didn't want to pay for OkCupid or something. And he was like, this is free dating service. I was like, we're not dating. You know what I mean? We're not dating. And
did you have sex with the guy?
I don't remember.
Oh, bullshit.
I don't remember if we did it.
You're so full of shit.
I don't remember if we did it. I do remember. I am dissociative, so it's possible I could forget. I do remember looking at his, he had like a really kind of like big round face. It was like, it looked a little bit like a moon. Like I remember thinking like, oh, it's like a big, like a wheel of soft French cheese, you know? Like, that was my last thought about him. And
it wasn't an orgasm. That wasn't the last thought. It was the soft cheese.
No, it was definitely not an orgasm. It was not my last thought. You know, and then I was like, but then it was good. It was a good moment because I was like, you know what? I think I've like done my casual sex phase. Like, I'm lucky I didn't get raped.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Didn't get STD.
Because I
didn't have sex, it sounds like.
We
had something. I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, we looked
at cheese and crackers.
Art books. And had sex with an art book. That's what we did. So then I was kind of like, you know, maybe I'm that. My first thought when I was laying there was like, when I get home, I'm going to call that other guy. And then I was like,
the commercial guy?
No, like somebody else.
Another
on the
Craigslist.
List. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to call. And then I was over it. And I was like, you know what? This is too much.
You were into two in one night.
I was like, I wanted to, I've had this experience. I just had it with a massage where I want to fix the mistake immediately. You know what I mean? I'm like, this was a mistake. I called the wrong person.
I mean, the massage was bad.
Yeah, now I'm going to go get a massage.
A real one.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Set things right.
Let's set things right. But then it always happens when I do that, like, it doesn't get set right. Like, it's always a mistake. So I didn't set it right. I just ended up, like, going back to my little, like, you know, Peter Pan bedroom, you know, sitting in the dark by myself and, like, finding my way into being a grown-up with my friends and making things.
And now you're fine.
I'm perfect.
You ever think about going? You ever think? I know you're perfect.
I'm done. I'm actually done.
You ever think about going on Craigslist again?
Oh no.
No more.
That was
a phase.
That was just a magic moment.
And now you're happy. Now your relationships.
Yeah.
Career's going good.
I'm in the zone. I'm in my zone. I mean, who knows how the careers go? But I like the work I'm making. I like being I like being myself and getting to do it.
Well, I like it.
Thanks.
And thank you for coming.
I don't want it to end.
I know. We could talk all day.
I feel like it just really got going.
Well, come back.
Okay.
Come back. Do it again. I love your stories.
Thanks.
And I could sit. I want you to tell me more stories. I really could sit and listen to them.
Well, you and your wife can have me over for dinner.
That's the deal. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe when we go see you on August 9th at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Okay.
You can swing by our house before that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, do you live in Pasadena?
Yes, live in Pasadena.
Oh, great.
So there you go.
Okay.
And also wetthehippo.com. Anybody want any further information? Any upcoming television?
I'm going to be on this season of Wilfred.
Good.
I'm Wilfred's.
We just had him on Loveline. He was very good.
He's great.
Yeah.
We didn't get any calls.
We didn't take them.
We didn't take them.
Well, I was too busy listening to your stories.
Next time we'll take calls. Because, you know, I give therapy now. So
okay.
I know how to do it.
I want to see that footage, too. I mean,
okay, I'll
cut
it. I'll send it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
What else? Wilfred?
Wilfred.
New Girl? Any more of that coming up?
I don't know if I'll do any more New Girl. I did a part in a pilot called Do It Yourself with Cheech, which is pretty fun.
Cool.
And, yeah. A bunch of
stand-up? Can we find you somewhere?
Yeah, I'm doing a bunch of stand-up around town.
Here in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
You go to your website?
Yeah, I don't have a website, but I tweet it about an hour before I do it, which is super unhelpful.
At Claire Pickle, that's smart.
Super unhelpful. Yeah, I'm not helpful.
Can you give these guys some of those dates and put it up on the website?
Now that I organize, I'll have to call them from my home.
You might dissociate and just forget.
I might dissociate and not even show up.
Claire Teitelman, everybody. I'll have her back. Thank you all for watching and listening. That is wetthehippo.com is the website. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Corolla Digital.